Seekers Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by you guys. You guys are sending in so many questions that I am spending basically all a lot of these shows trying to play catch up to be able to answer all of them. So I'm just going to dive right in. The first question here comes from International Laker Fan. Hey, Anthony and Pete, love the content. You guys love the content, guys. Keep it up. I've been so effing stoked to watch the Lakers every night they play. Anyway, I know the Lakers have had really slow starts so far, and I was wondering why that is. Also, I've been getting warrior vibes from the Lakers in terms of just their runs and how helpless the opposition looks. Obviously, they aren't at their max potential level yet, but I wanted to hear your thoughts. Thanks again. I think it has... So, there's four-ish points made there. The first point that I think really needs to be hammered home is how nice it is, how refreshing it is to have a good Lakers team once again. This is just, it's been such a nice breath of fresh air into my life. Jen actually looks forward to watching games again. That's been fun. You can really see it around the fan base, and this is insane. I saw my first Laker flag today. seven games in, and Laker fans are flying the championship flags already. And you know what? I'm here for it. Let them fly. So that's been pretty fun to watch take place and develop. But the second point here about the slow starts, I think what that has to do with is, one, JaVale isn't as good as Dwight. And I kind of think it's kind of crept into the rest of everybody's heads. They just kind of like wait for the game to get going. Two, another reading of that situation is that they're still trying to figure out the bare minimum energy that they have to expend and still win games. So that's kind of, I think that's a greater cause of it. And then, you know, three, it's still early this season. And I think a big part of what's going on here with the Lakers, and as you allude to there with your last point, is that they haven't come close to their max potential. They aren't making shots. Their shooters aren't taking care of that aspect of the game. And yeah, that is going to affect, if you aren't scoring points, that's going to affect the way that you start a game. So I think you got all those things going on, most of which, all of which really are I guess fixable, for lack of a better term. JaVale can move out of the starting lineup if this becomes too big of a problem. Eventually, the Lakers are going to progress to the mean in terms of their shooting, I think. And you know, eventually they're going to figure out what that amount of energy it takes, what kind of energy it takes to win games. So as they figure all those things out, the Lakers will be a better team, and that's, I mean, the Lakers opening to the schedule here, it's tougher than we thought it was, but it still hasn't been a bunch of world beaters that the Lakers are beating. But the fact that they have won the way that they have and still have such a ways to go is pretty exciting. And then, you know, that last point, I went out of order here, but Pete and I talked about this in last night's show that, yeah, the Lakers will blitz a team. You'll look up, and a 10-point deficit is gone, or a even game extends out to a 12 or 14-point lead, right? And that is, to me, a sign of being one of the better teams of in the NBA. We saw this with the Warriors. I mean, really, look at any great team in the history of basketball, in the history of sports. When they throw that haymaker, that changes the game. And I think you, what you're looking at here with this Lakers team is they'll go on that run, they'll defend their asses off, and then the game is changed. And that's, it's really fun to watch that as it takes place. And it's pretty cool that the Lakers are that kind of good to be able to do that. I just hope it doesn't allow them to fall into kind of the nasty habit of thinking they can flip the switch, and then, you know, you got to flip the switch. You try to flip the switch, and nothing really happens. Let Shannon Dunk writes, "Hey guys, love the show. It's been great to listen to during my daily commutes across LA. Also, pineapple does not belong on pizza. Just FYI, you're wrong. My question is, do you think Do you all think JaVale will become discontent with the lack of minutes he's getting? I know you've mentioned the politics of the locker room will help keep him the starter in the starter spot, but if he's getting less minutes, will that still lead to issues? Also, second question, if you had 1 year of Kobe, i.e. 09 Kobe, 06 Kobe, etc., if you could add 1 year of Kobe to this team, which Kobe would you add and why? Well, the answer to that question is the MVP Kobe. That was just the combination of ability and understanding of what the team needed and all of those things. And also understanding of, like, how fortunate he is to play for the Lakers or was to play for the Lakers. Remember, I think the MVP season happened, I believe, not the year that Bynum demanded a trade. It might have been that year. Yeah, I think it was that year. I think he won MVP and then lost in the finals. Either that or it was the next year where he won MVP and then beat the Magic or whatever. But by the time he had won MVP, there was an understanding of, like, and I think Laker fans are going through it right now, where it's really easy to take success for granted if all you know is success. And I think with Kobe, all he knew was success. And when it became more difficult for him than just winning, that drove him insane. And I think the lack of success over the last 6 or 7 years has driven the Laker fans insane. And now that the Lakers are good, you have a little bit more appreciation for what it is that having a good team means for your sports experience. And I think here, you know, back that year with Kobe, when he won MVP and then he won back-to-back championships, I think he took greater solace in the fact that, you know, he was drafted into a team with Shaquille O'Neal. They won 3 championships before you could blink, right? And you kind of go from that to, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of this rut. I don't know if I'm ever not going to play with Smush Parker. And you go from that to, here's Bynum is coming into his own, and the Lakers trade for Powell, and Lamar Odom finds a role that he's more comfortable with, and holy shit, we just won 2 championships in a row. And those 2 championships, I mean, he'll say that, and I'm sure not having Shaq on those teams played a pretty big role in why he enjoys those championships more, but I also think part of it was that you don't know that you're ever going to get back there. Like Dan Marino, when he was a young quarterback, makes it to a Super Bowl, thinks, all right, well, one day I'll get back here, and then he never does. So the fact that the Lakers were able to get back there, and now that these Lakers are able to get back to where they are, Laker fans, I think, are taking a greater enjoyment out of this, having trudged through the mud of the last 6 or 7 years. But to answer the question about JaVale, honestly, I don't care. It's JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee at his best, and we saw JaVale McGee at his best at the beginning of the year last year. But that player is legitimately useful. He's athletic. He plays with energy. He uses his length properly. He gets up and he finishes well around the rim. But a malcontent JaVale McGee, which we've probably seen more of over the last year or so of having JaVale McGee as a Laker, like that JaVale McGee is highly replaceable. And if all it takes to get a malcontent JaVale McGee is employing another NBA center, then fuck that guy. Let him walk. You could find a player who is probably more willing to compete, more willing to be a part of a good team than this version of JaVale McGee. So do these minutes rub him the wrong way? I don't care. I really don't. Dwight has been good enough that I frankly do not care about how JaVale McGee feels about the Lakers employing a center who is better than he is. That's the point of all this. You don't like it. You don't like being the second best center on the team. Play better. That's an option. Try harder. That's an option. You can do that. So long as he chooses not to, and so long as he chooses to sulk, then get out of here. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. All right, today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Today's MyBookie bet of the day is I'm looking at the Portland and Clippers game. Kawhi Leonard is actually going to be playing in this one. He is going to be sitting against Milwaukee, unfortunately. But he is going to be playing up, or he's going to be playing at home against Portland. And the Clippers are favored by 5.5, according to the line that I have in front of me right now. The Clippers are a better team than Portland. They are going to be healthier. And Portland is definitely trending downward. They had a tough loss with, I think it's John Collins, either Jason or John. I always forget those guys. But the Clippers are built well enough to be able to blitz Portland, and I think they should win, you know, fairly easily. 5.5 seems like really good value. That only means they're getting basically 2.5 because they're the home team, and you account for the 3 points that being the home team gets. So that's where you want to make your bet. And if you're making bets, go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. They are the easiest site to place bets that exists out there. They pay your money in a timely manner, which is really important. And they have just about every bet that you would be looking to make, including this one. So head on over to mybookie.ag, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and double your input if you're a first-time user. If you want to make this bet and join me in it, awesome. If not, look around. They have plenty of bets for you to choose from. So that's mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, this question comes from By Magic. They write, "You, Harrison, and Pete, great show. Speaking of great chemistry, how do you feel about the team's offensive chemistry thus far? Hopefully some better shooting to come as well, but by our role players. But it seems a little clunky. Great defense, though." Well, that's kind of how the NBA season usually goes. It's a little easier to implement defense, and the reason most good teams implement defense at first is because that allows you to get out into transition and you can get a few extra easy buckets while your offense catches back up. That's usually how smart teams approach the season. And the clunky offense, by the way, extends throughout the NBA. I think three-pointers are down to a lower place than they've been in a little while. I think some of that has to do with Steph Curry, which is pretty, and Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant being out. I think some of that, you know, those three guys are going to get three-pointers up at astonishing rates, so that's probably going to affect it. But you also kind of look at the way a lot of these teams are built. There's a few throwback teams up at the top of the league that make it really difficult to score, and the Lakers are one of them. So I think here with the way that the Lakers approach this season, I like it. I like that they have basically said, we are going to make our name on defense. And when we absolutely have to put our feet on throats defensively, we can do that. And then our offense will catch up. And I think eventually the offense will catch up. The thing about shooting, and Pete and I go back and forth on this all the time, is you have to, it's not just about employing good shooters. It's about what kind of shots those good shooters prefer. So Danny Green, for example, when he is trailing on the wing, and he's able to step into a three-pointer, it's money. It's automatic. It's one of the few shots that I can remember in recent history from that far out that I said, "Oh yeah, that's a bucket." And I think that's generally speaking how he prefers to shoot his three-pointers. You're not going to be able to step up into three-pointers usually in the half court because more often than not the ball is coming from around the perimeter. But the more square Danny Green's shoulders can be heading into a three-pointer, the better he's going to look shooting that three-pointer. Kyle Kuzma is still trying to figure out, I think, what kind of three-pointer he prefers. Quinn Cook, I think, he needs more time than you would think. He has a quick release, but he hesitates sometimes. And so I think the more comfortable all these shooters get shooting around each other, Troy Daniels is another example. Alex Caruso hasn't shot the ball very well. But the more comfortable all the designated shooters start to get around each other, it's literally about repetition, and it's about finding, so getting to a place where you're repeating the kind of shots that those guys most prefer shooting. And now what that's going to mean is that eventually the defense is going to start trying to take away those specific shots for those specific guys. But if enough guys are hitting all at the same time, and you only really need two or three guys to hit all at the same time to run at a league average rate. But if these guys are all shooting at shots that they prefer, that means the defense is going to have to guess as to what they're going to try to take away on any given night, and that's going to allow somebody else to be able to shoot. So I'm not at the point where I'm worried yet about the shooting. I'd be interested to see how they're going about improving that shooting. Are they focused on which shots does so-and-so look more comfortable taking? How can we make it so that that player is shooting more of those shots? Let's go to the next question here. It comes from Z Nike. Hey, Anthony, congrats on being a dad. You sound like you're very good at it. Oh, I am okay at it. Jen's the superstar here, as per usual. Two questions for you. One, how do we feel about Pelinka and Genie Bus now? 6 months ago, we were crushing them, but recently Pelinka is getting love on social media and everything seems good. I can't tell whether they should get credit for turning the Lakers around or not. To be honest, I feel like any mildly competent owner/GM could have done at least this well or better. Trade the kids for AD, surround them with shooters, etc. Two, if tomorrow morning you woke up with telekinetic powers, what would you do with them? I'd use them to become the best shooter in the NBA. I'll start with the first one. I think it's a little too early to start anointing Rob Pelinka here. And look, I think some of what has made the Lakers successful is more an acceptance of exceptionalism than it is anything else. So when Mitch Kupchak was in charge and Jim Buss was in charge, Mitch Kupchak was seen around the league as this Boy Scout who refused to do anything shady. And what that did was it tied one hugely important hand behind the Lakers' back. This isn't like, so if Mitch Kupchak was a Boy Scout with the Milwaukee Bucks, then who cares? They aren't going to attract that kind of talent, that free agent kind of talent anyway, or the Charlotte Hornets right now is what he's seeing right now anyway. They aren't going to attract max level free agents, so he can be a Boy Scout if he wants to be a Boy Scout. But when you're a Boy Scout for the Los Angeles Lakers and you're limiting the amount of shady stuff that you're doing and your ability to sign those free agents, that's like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar saying, you know what, I'm not going to shoot this skyhook anymore. And I think what Genie Buss and what Rob Pelinka and what the Lakers have done recently is they have kind of owned up to, yeah, every so often we're going to do some shady stuff. And if that leads to Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the team, then hell yeah, awesome. And now it's just a matter of not screwing up the margins as they build around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I don't have too many complaints to this point on this roster. I would feel better if Ty Lue was the coach, and I would feel better if Rajon Rondo wasn't on the team. But all in all, why complain right now? They're 6-1. Two, if I had telekinetic powers, what would I do with them? Being a really good shooter would be good. I think, so if I'm a really good shooter, I would still have to play defense, and I would rather not have to defend at an NBA level. So I'd rather be a golfer. So like, make me a golfer, and I would like purposely have the world's funkiest swing. after the ball leaves the club, you would have physics geniuses trying to figure out how I'm hitting the ball 350 yards straight every single time, and how it is that I'm shooting 18 total as a golfer in all of these tournaments. I think that's what I would rather do, because being a professional golfer, if you're a great professional golfer, that's the life. You get to travel the world. It's a little lonely, I'll grant you that. You don't have teammates in the same way the other team sports do, but you don't have to be in great shape. Shouts to John Daly and Phil Mickelson. And you just You show up, you play golf, you get sponsored by like all kinds of crazy valuable relationship building companies in terms like portfolio managers and private airplane companies and yachts and all these things. That's a pretty cool life. I think that's what I would do. If I had telekinetic powers, I would wake up every morning, go out there, win. I wouldn't win. I wouldn't want to break records that way, I don't think, because I would feel pretty cheap. I feel like I'd be cheating the sport. But just make me good enough to be best in the world for 6-7 years. I'd make bank and then call it quits. And people will wonder about what the hell was up with that Anthony Irwin guy who was somehow just wrecking courses whenever he felt like it. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. February's very own writes, "Hey Anthony and Pete, love the show, thank you. So Brandon Ingram has been playing lights out to start the season so far for the Pelicans, and he is on most analysts' most improved player lists. What do you think about his play so far? Would you rather the Lakers had kept him than Kuzma?" Well, that's the guy I really wish the Lakers would have kept is Lonzo Ball, honestly. The thing there, though, is that he hasn't looked that good to start the season. So I don't think there's a big gripe there. The thing with Ingram and Kuzma, and I actually kind of had a bit of a thread on this on Twitter earlier today, and it was basically that you can't compare Ingram to Kuzma right now for one very easy reason. One, Kuzma isn't healthy, and then two, Kuzma is playing on a 6-1 team with a high usage rate guy in LeBron James and a high usage rate guy in Anthony Davis. He's also playing on a team that has expectations of being 6-1 or whatever, you know. He's playing on a team with championship aspirations. And therefore, it's a little bit more difficult to find your role, especially given the fact that he hasn't been healthy. You compare that now to Brandon Ingram, who is playing on a 1-6 team that has zero expectations right now because Zion Williamson isn't hurt. The only highest usage rate guy on that team is Drew Holiday, and he hasn't been very good this year. So what you basically get is, Brandon, go out there and do your thing. And you give any NBA player, no, not any, you give any talented, you know, top two draft pick, non-bust talented NBA player, that kind of an opportunity, and they are going to produce. It's just a matter of how good is that team as a result of that production. So the example, I'll just use this as an example. The Sacramento Kings back in the day, they had Jason Williams on their team. And Jason Williams, when made the point guard and was surrounded, when he was surrounded by Peja Stojakovic and Chris Webber and Vlade Divac, like, Jason Williams looked like an incredible point guard back then. And then they swapped out Jason Williams for Mike Bibby. Bibby was a better overall player. And because you basically just inserted a better player into the role that was previously filled by Jason Williams, the team got better. And then what you start to see, and you see this usually with championship-level teams, is And the Warriors are an extreme example of this, and they were going to be an extreme example of this, but at their peak, you had Steph, you had Klay, you had Klay Thompson, you had Andre Iguodala, you had Draymond Green, and you had really strong role players like Sean Livingston. And when they were at their best, Steph Curry didn't look like he had to do as much. Did that make Steph a worse player at that time? No. And this year, what was going to happen before he got hurt is he was going to have an insane usage rate, and his numbers were going to be astronomical. But the team is probably going to suck because those stats are going to go to a less efficient group than they were previously. And that's just kind of how basketball works. So if you put So this is a long way of saying, if you just put Brandon Ingram on this team, he wouldn't be producing the same way he's producing in New Orleans. He just wouldn't be. He wouldn't have a 40-point game so far. And does that make him a worse player? No, it would make him literally the same human being. But it's just a different kind of production, and that kind of context sometimes gets lost, especially when you're doing comparisons between two guys who the Lakers kind of sort of had to choose between in landing Anthony Davis. So there's my spiel on context. Let's go with the next question here. Comes from Snigs24. Hey, Anthony, is there any way you can get the Pelicans blogger, The Bird Writes, on your podcast? I am pretty sure the entire fan base would love to see his take on Brandon Ingram now that he is a Pelican. Also, I would love to hear you just crush him on his ignorance of the young Laker core was trash. Look, I don't want to punch down. Space Cowboy writes, love the show and have been listening daily. I know Kuzma's offense has been slow to come around since his return from injury. We are all hoping he reverts to form and shows growth on that end, but that remains to be seen. What does seem to stand out to me is that he seems to be playing much better on the defensive end. Are you guys seeing this too? And if you could talk a bit on what he and or the team are doing to lead to this and how that impacts his value. I think so. One thing that you could never say about Kuzma was that he didn't try hard. And simply trying hard on defense is a huge first step. And he spent the summer playing with Team USA and learning from Greg Popovich. And Pop, like, say what you will about Pop, and I'll be as petty as the next person talking about Greg Popovich, but he understands the game of basketball, especially on the defensive end. And if you're going to, so most people when they use their summers or when they're working on their summers, it's usually individual stuff, it's shooting stuff, it's offensive stuff. It's hard to work on defense without being in the team construct. Kuzma spent the summer in the team construct, and I think he better understands some of the offensive principles. And then you combine that with him always trying hard, and you have the makings of at least an okay defender. And that's really all he needs to be, by the way. Just make him league average. If he's league average as a defender and then hits his open three-pointers, the Lakers have on their hands the perfect role player to accompany this roster. That's all they need. Should he learn to create a little bit more off the dribble and become a better passer and become, you know, kind of a secondary or tertiary creator or even primary in some cases when LeBron and Anthony Davis are both out, then awesome. Then he's even better and the Lakers ceiling goes through the roof somehow. But the defensive thing with Kuzma, I think that was always going to come around a little bit. Just because he's willing to try. And it's just a matter of how well does he pick up on those defensive principles. And then the other thing, too, with Kuzma's defense is he's spending a lot more time surrounded by better defenders than he has over the course of his career to this point. So if you basically put, and again, this is where context matters, you put Kuzma on a young team like he has been to this point of his career, you put him on a young team filled to the brim with guys who aren't really good defenders, his holes are going to show up more because more is going to be expected of him as a defender. But you surround him, you surround Kuzma with Avery Bradley or Alex Caruso as a point guard, Danny Green, LeBron James, this version of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, praise heaven, pray to heaven that it's Andre Iguodala, whatever. And you surround Kuzma with that kind of defensive energy and intelligence, and less is going to be asked of him as a defender. And that will, by extension, make him a better defender. I think that's what you're seeing here from him now. The stuff about his offense, we talked about this on yesterday's show. Just get him on the move. Until he gets a little bit more comfortable and he's working with Phil Handy, ironically, on his handles, and you put Kuzma on the move a little bit more and give him a head start and get him going towards the basket at least, especially to start the game so he develops a little bit more momentum, that's when you're going to start to see the makings of the type of player the Lakers need. All right. This was fun. Great questions. My one, I guess, request when you guys are asking questions, keep them fun. I loved in the offseason, and I get it, your attention is kind of zeroing in on what the Lakers could possibly be or whatever. But bring the fun questions too. I love poking Pete's brain about Marvel and Star Wars or whatever, just because I love seeing him squirm because he knows nothing about that. Ask away. There's plenty of stuff going on. Let's keep this show weird. Let's keep this thing going. The show continues to grow. Thank you guys a ton for that. That'll do it, though, for this episode. Pete will be back tomorrow. We'll preview the Miami and Lakers game coming Friday night. That'll probably be the MyBookie bet of the day, some version of that. So for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.